Of your different, enjoy different things. I've never understood why people pay big bucks to sit in the front row at these sporting events, and you can hardly give away the furthest chairs, but in churches it's different. No one wants to sit up front, and with my teens, if they were here tonight, they would be sitting here, right in that front row. And I tell them I want them within spitting distance of me. And it's just something to think. And so I want to start our message tonight. I want to tell you what it is. And if you'll stand for the reading of God's word, my message is serve like God is watching, because he is. And if you turn your Bibles to Hebrews 6:10, I'm going to be using from Hebrews 6:10 to 13. The Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love for which you have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to this full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth in your word. I thank you that your word is there to encourage us, to build us up, to guide us. Lord, it should also give us a purpose in our ministry, to understand that we do serve a great God, serve a God that is beyond comparison. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I know when I teach science class, the first thing I do is we open with scripture. And I believe the book is designed to give an hour lesson. Is that correct? And because we have to do it in 50 minutes, we cut into our science time. But I find it important enough to share God's word with them. I try to keep it short, 5 or 6 minutes. Their science time, and then I rush through their science stuff, because at the end of the day, if they learn about God, it will benefit them a lot more than if they learn about science. Amen. And so I want to share that with you. So for verse 10, I want to go over that. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, and that ye have minister to the saints and do minister. And this God is not unrighteous. He knows what he's talking about. He is righteous to you. God is only bound to men by his own promise. He made it, so he has to live to it, because that's who God is. He is not obligated to make that promise. No one told me he had to promise that. He did it. But once made, his righteousness or justice requires him to keep it, because he is a holy God. Amen. And he will keep it. Therefore, whatever he has promised, he will certainly perform. Amen. You can be guaranteed as much. If the sun doesn't come up tomorrow, it's for me, it's because I've gone home. Yeah. May come up for you, but he has his promises. He tells everybody that sun's going to come up, but he has promised to reward every good work and labor of love. And he will surely reward yours. Sometimes we sit and think, no one pays attention. No one sees it. God's promise is God's debt, not mine. It's not yours to worry about whether you're going to get it paid or not. It's God's debt. And God said that he's not unrighteous towards that, and that he will pay it. God is not a liar. You know, I tell the kids in my Sunday school class, and you may think that teaching them, I teach them to take God literally, to understand that God is there. It's not a pie in the sky. God is there. So I tell them, when you decide to do wrong, just stop, look up in the heavens and say, God, I don't care. And I say, oh, I'd never do that. And I tell them, but you just did. Oh, no, I didn't do that. Yes, you did. And if I teach that to young people, guess who it applies to? It applies to me. Amen. I have to accept that. Every good work must spring from faith in the name and the being and the goodness of God. If it springs from anywhere else, it's not right. And every work that is truly good must have love as its motive, as it is God in the end. Good works. We're talking about good works. Not me, but God. I have to put God in it. Because if I don't put God in it, I'm doing it for myself. Now, there are some good people that will do good things. But their motive is not always love. Not God's love. Can't be God's love because they don't have it. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Not to the middle of your life, not three quarters of it, but all of your life. And you may think, well, Mr. Menes, you don't understand. I've done my part. Really? How about if Jesus would have stopped on the road and says, the centurion's going to carry my cross. Time for me to quit. Wouldn't have been so good for us Christians, would it? We desire, we earnestly wish that each person among you may continue to manifest. Exhibit to full view the same diligence. Is there diligence in your service? Are you one of those that keeps going? Are you one of those that stops and starts because of circumstances? The same diligence that they had an active faith and a laboring love, these disciples and the apostles, wanting them to continue to persevere. Do you think God wants you to persevere? Or does you think he wants you to quit? Does he not equip us fully? Or does he only equip us partially? How diligent are we? How is your diligence today? Do you have a desire to fully serve your Lord? And are you willing to partake of it? How do we treat our service? Is it as a duty to honor God, or is it something that you do to gain favor of maybe your pastor, maybe someone in your church, maybe to show others what a great person you are, what a good person you are? I don't think that's the kind of service God is looking for. Are we doing them a favor? You know, you need to take the attitude, as I get to serve a great God. I get to serve. It's not I have to serve. It's not even I want to serve. I get to serve. Amen. It's a privilege. Amen. Something that can be taken away from you at any time. I remember speaking with a person, and they were talking to me about being too involved one time in their life, so they took a step back. And they decided that they weren't going to do anything for a while. Well, you know, be careful what you ask for. You know, they no longer can serve. The circumstances in their life have put them in a position, can no longer serve. They lost their privilege. I think if you ask them today about that decision, they'd say, I wish I would have kept serving. I wish I would have kept serving. Then verse 12 says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them that through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, God doesn't want us to be slothful. Slothful means lazy. It also means sloppy. It also means haphazardly. Oh, I'm just doing it for the church. Whatever they get, they're fortunate to get. You know, when we go out on visitation, it should be a desire to reach souls, not just, oh, I got to get rid of 20 tracts. When we clean the church, it should not be, oh, just clean enough so that no one sees the dirt. But, yeah, I know I didn't do a good job. It has to be to the point where when you teach, whether it be in Sunday school or our Christian school, oh, I know what I'm doing. And the staff there will tell you, I've told them this, I know what I'm doing. It's the kids. Well, you know, it may not be the kids. I challenge myself all the time because it is my job to motivate them. Oh, yeah, Mr. Mendez, you got to understand what you got to work with. What they fail to realize is that I got a great God that's working with me. And look at what he had to work with. And yet, he is still willing to work with me. Shows a full assurance of hope. It's to be regulated and maintained. You got to keep your life in order. You got to do right in order to serve. We must be diligent. Slothfulness will deprive us of hope and faith because then we'll just start doing it haphazardly. And we'll be dependent on ourselves. That faith that's working by love will maintain hope and is full and due exercise. I've been told more than once about getting burnt out. Mr. Mendez, be careful. You're going to get burnt out. Mr. Mendez, be careful. You're doing too much. I remember being a young Christian man, newly saved, and someone coming up to me and says, appreciate what you're trying to do, but you haven't learned enough to be serving. I didn't know I had to have a special degree to serve. They were just trying to make sure that I didn't jump out. You know, it is a marathon. It's a lifelong race. Just a little different is that you have a Savior that's going to keep you during that marathon. It's not yourself. Did you notice when I say you're always at church, I use the word you? Yeah, you. And then I ask them, what happens to, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me. What happens to that when you say, I got burnt out? Wait a minute, you told me you believe in your Bible, you believe God's word, and there's a verse that says, I can do all things, and you tell me, but I can't. You know what the difference there is? That it's not me doing all things. It's Christ doing all things through me. Because I have taken the privilege of serving him. Yes, service will change for you. I can tell you this from experience. When I was a young man of Tim's age, there wasn't nothing. I was up at the evangelical church putting up girders 25, 30 feet above the ground, thinking nothing of it, hanging on by arms and legs. And you ask me to do that now, Mrs. Mendez would say, let me get his life insurance policy in order because I'm not going to be able to do it anymore. My ministry has changed. Where I used to coach basketball, and the only way I know to coach it is to be able to play it with them, to instruct them. I no longer coach because I cannot keep up with them. Your ministry will change, but does it mean it stops? No, it just changes into something else. I don't know what the next evolution is, but I'm looking forward to it. I understand there needs to be a balance. I understand that there is too much involvement. But I'll tell you this, there's never too much involvement as long as you keep God first. Because God will keep you from too much involvement. Our problem is that we're so busy that we decide that, got to hurry up and get to church. I'm going to be late this morning. Don't read his word. I tell the kids, there's a sign in my office and it says, and they did evil because they prepared not their heart. I tell them, when you leave your house in the morning and you've not prepared your heart, your desire is to have evil in your life. Oh no, Mr. Man, I never want evil in my life. Well, then you take that up with God. God said it. If you don't prepare your heart, you're preparing it for evil. Sad thing. Sad thing when you prepare your heart for evil and it's your fault. Show God that you can trust him to meet your needs. Show God that you can trust him to meet your needs. Oh, I'm just too busy. Show God you can trust him to meet your needs. He'll tell you when you're too busy. Be surprised at what he'll do. Your children will learn from your example, whether good or bad. You know, my dad would tell me, I'm going to give you this advice and you take it. And if it's good, then you'll benefit. If it's bad, it'll hurt you. But I'm going to show you this by example. What are we showing our young people by our example? Are you diligently in God's word? Are you diligently in his service? And yes, you may say, well, I'm a grandparent now. Guess what? It works with grandchildren too. And I have them, and I spend quality time with them. And yes, there are times when people will say, well, you know, you should really be doing this at church. And I say, no, I should really be investing in my grandchildren's future. And I have no qualms about it. I don't worry about that. Because I know what God wants me to do. I know where I'm at in his will in my life. But your children will learn from your example, your grandchildren. What heritage are you leaving your children and your grandchildren? What will be said about you on that day that you're no longer here? What will be remembered about you? And I tell my teachers this all the time. Brother Leo, who was your third grade teacher? Wait a minute. That was 60 years ago, 58 years ago. You don't think that your children remember what you did when they were little? Do you think that your children don't remember what you did when you were an adult? Did you ever go back and make it right? I don't know how many times I've had to apologize to my children or to my grandchildren or to my wife because of dumb things I've done when God has told me that I've done them. Your example. Maybe you think that these things around the church should be done by the paid staff here. After all, they get paid to do it. Really? Let me tell you a secret. We don't have any paid staff. That's a shame. That's a shame to us. I had to listen through a message here 3 weeks ago. Broke Brother Leo's heart, broke my heart. I'm taking care of your pastor. And I have to sit there and listen to it because we're not doing it. But yet we'll say, why isn't he here? Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't that getting neglected? You know, I get irked sometimes. I really do. When someone comes and says, you got this problem. And I think, I didn't realize this was my church. I thought it was our church. And why is it my problem? Why are you telling me that there's a stain on the floor? Clean it up. Why are you telling me that there's no toilet paper in the bathroom? Put it in there. Why do I have to do it? That's good, brother. Or do you need someone to pat you in the back and tell you, oh yeah, I seen brother so-and-so putting toilet paper in the bathroom. How about that kid that you see standing over there that maybe he's struggling? And you know he's struggling. I'll take your blessing. You come and tell me. He needs to be witnessed to. You come tell me. I'll take care of it. But guess what? You miss that blessing. That's right. You miss it. Because you sent me to go do your job. You know why God let you see that? He wanted you to do it. But if you don't want to do it, I'll do it. You know, if you don't want to put the toilet paper in the bathroom, I'll do it. You don't want to pick up the stain on the floor? I'll do it. I'm getting limited on that, but I'll still do it. And not limited because I don't want to. Limited because I'm getting physically to that point. You know, I sometimes like to have a pity party myself. And I says, but I'm 67 years old. Why should I have to do that? You're half my age. You're 10 years younger. Why should I have to do that? Doesn't matter why. That's what I got to do. Now, I wish that we had a good science teacher to come and teach science. I kind of feel bad for the kids. All they get is me. But as long as they get someone that's spirit-filled, they're going to be all right. God's going to use that. Maybe it's the older folks that should be doing all the work around here. After all, their children's grown up. They don't do nothing but sit around all day, watch TV. Yeah. Sometimes we like to think that way, huh? Maybe it should be the younger people who have all the energy and they can really get along. They can really climb them ladders. They can really clean them floors. And I know sometimes the older people look at the younger people because I've heard them say it. I've already done my share. What is your share? Have you ever thought what your share was? Well, I'm gonna tell you what your share is. Your share is to do all that God gives you to do. That's your share. Whether it's 5 minutes a week at church or 20 hours a week at church, that's your share. Whatever God gives you to do and the ability to do. Have you ever thought that if you continue to tell him no, he may say, well, okay, you don't want it. Okay, we'll give it to someone else and you miss all the blessings. But those that are watching you will realize they didn't get a good example. Your grandchildren, your children. I can always find an excuse for someone else to do what we should be doing. I can always say, well, I don't know why that person is not doing that. Why do I have to do that? Have you ever thought of that? I'm sure you have. Well, why isn't that sign out on the corner? Why didn't so-and-so do their job? Why didn't you do it instead? Why didn't you? Why didn't you ask someone else to step up and do it? Verse 13 tells us, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. God said, I'm going to do it. And that should be enough. When God says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Another encouragement to push us towards onward, because the hope of the inheritance is certain. Do you realize that heaven is not a joke? That it's going to happen? Did you know that we win? Did you know that God said it? I believe it, and that should settle it. Do you live it? Do you live that? Or do you always doubt what God's going to do? I just can't do that, God. I don't have the ability to do that. Well, you know, you heard this morning, he turned a goldsmith into a seamstress because that's what he required. How much out of your box are you willing to get? Or are you in this little box and said, this is what I do? You know, what would it be like if I said, you know, I was very, very good at assembling steam turbines. And God, that's what I'm going to do for you the rest of my life. I've not seen a steam turbine inside a church. But God, I'm not comfortable doing it. You know, I always thought that ministry would be great if it weren't for the people. But God says, get out of your box. My ministry has people in it. That's what it has. That's what it is. A ministry of love of people. And you're just going to have to expand. See, I'm a type of person who likes something done a specific way in a specific time, and I don't want you dragging your feet. But God has said, some people drag their feet. Let them drag their feet. Leave them alone. Some people learn at a different rate. See, in my professional life, that wasn't acceptable. I'm the boss. You will go at my rate, or I will get someone to replace you. Ministry's not like that. You know, God promised it. Promised it with an oath. You know, when I grow weary, I go, yeah, and I get tired. I go tired. I grow weary. I remind myself of the promise that I made. I made this to myself. I told Lord, I don't know why it was, but I told him, Lord, I will serve you till the day I die. And every time I tell Irene, I was sharing with Brother Pace this morning, it would sure be nice to own a cabin up in Snowflake or Sholo or Payson. And then I think, but I can't teach Sunday school. I'd be too busy enjoying my cabin. There may be souls going to hell because I'm busy enjoying my cabin. Have you ever thought instead of watching your favorite program on Tuesday night, there may be a soul going to hell tonight because I sat here and watched TV instead of going out and handing out a tract. What blessing could God have given me if I had only done or be doing what he wants me to do? And I tell him, and I tell Irene, yeah, I told him I'd serve him till I die. I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm not quite ready to close that coffin yet. I kind of like living above ground. I kind of like breathing this fresh air. But there'll come that day when that happens. And I hope it can be said of me, he served him till the last day. That's what I want for my life. That's what I want my kids to remember. I don't want them to have excuses. I don't want them to remember, oh, yeah, Dad did some things, but, he had fun too. Yeah, we have fun, but they know what my prime responsibility is. They know that if I have $35 tickets to a basketball game, three of them, it's Wednesday night, guess who's not going to use them? Know why? I know where I'm supposed to be at. Do I have to be here? Can't I be like the rest of these people and just not show up when something happens in my life? God, can I be normal? No, I'm not normal. I'm a child of the King. You're a child of the King. You should act different. We should be different. Tell you again, I read the book and we read, glory to that. Glory. That should be enough to motivate us and to finish strong because you know who won. I was watching a football game yesterday and it was 2 weeks ago. Tim would appreciate this. It was a victory over the Oregon Ducks and I've seen it twice already. I've seen it in person. I've seen it taped. I was watching it for the third time. And I'm still sitting there waiting. Okay, what's going to happen next? Well, I know what's going to happen next. I know they're going to score a touchdown. But yet that anticipation, why aren't we so excited about God's work? What is God going to do with us? What could be done if we had a bus captain who was willing to go out on Saturday mornings, meet these families, and then pick them up on Sunday morning and take them home, sing with them, show them that he cared, show them that he loved. You know, I don't have any of my teens tonight, and that's heartbreaking. That really is. I have Andrew here, but I have one teen out of 10. That's 10%. That's about the percentage of people that work in the church. Then let's just be honest about it. You know, that seriously work in the church. We have a lot of people that do this or do that, but That's heartbreaking that we have one teen in here tonight. But I want to finish strong. In serving God, we often forget our motive. We get so busy and we get tired and we forget why we're doing it. Or maybe our motives aren't what they should be to begin with. Yeah, that happens. It's happened to me. And then I have to stop and God has to remind me, hey, who are you doing it for? Does it really matter whether they like it or not? As long as you're doing the best for me, that's all that should matter. We want the pat on the back and the accolades of service and forget the service sometimes is a selfless job that often goes unnoticed and unseen. Servants are not often praised and their work is not what you would find on the front page. Servants move in silence and aren't the ones who look to be praised and recognized. We often do good things for all the wrong reasons. Our motives should not be to be recognized by others, but to serve the King. As long as you're getting your service in, should not matter whether anybody else noticed. You know, I'm reminded of this quite often. Have you ever heard of a husband that was killed when he was washing dishes or washing clothes? That is not a time the wife's going to choose to kill her husband because they were doing something good. What are you doing for your God? And why are you doing it? Do you hope that someone will come along and pat you on the back? Do you think that that duty is beneath you? That maybe someone else that's less experienced should be doing that duty? I'll tell you, when we first came to Vision Baptist Church 9 years ago, Mrs. Mendez and Marguerite's job was to clean the bathrooms every Sunday. My job was to go dump all the garbages. We've been serving the Lord for, at that time, 35 years. Was it beneath us? No. It shouldn't have ever been. It should never be beneath you to serve your God, whatever capacity. In fact, I told God, I love it so much, why don't you keep me here? You know why? No one ever complained about what I did with the garbage because they didn't want to be out there watching me pick up the garbage. Two, as long as they didn't have to put their trash in full garbage cans, they could care less who done it. And no one ever told me, here, let me do this for you. Get out of the way. Let me serve in your place. You know, that's funny how no one ever wanted to do that. And then I didn't have to deal with people. But now, everything I do, it was like God was saying, okay, I'm going to give you a break from people because I've been doing youth clubs and all sorts of things all my life. And now God gave me a little break in there. And then he says, okay, now back to reality. And Mr. Dahlman said, will you help me teach adult Sunday school? I've never taught adult Sunday school. I've always done young people. I don't believe. I said, no, Lord, I won't do that. I learned to teach. Was it difficult? Yes. You know what's real scary? It's when you walk in there and your students know the material better than you do. But God gives you the heart. And God says, don't need your knowledge. I need you. I need you. In the spiritual race, we often grow tired and weary. We become complacent and we lose our passions for souls. We're just happy getting to church on Sunday night, Sunday morning. Forget Wednesday night. Forget Sunday night a lot of times. Forget the soul winning. We're just happy we can get there Sunday morning. Remember, your kids are watching. We get comfortable in our Sunday seat and forget our purpose and promise God has given us. You know, Baptists are known for having their seats. And I've seen it almost come to blows because someone sat in someone's seat. How ridiculous is that? Amen. You know, we should come in our church service and we should watch who is sitting alone, who may need me to sit with them today so that I can be an encouragement to them. Wednesday nights, who am I going to pray with tonight? Look over the crowd for your victim instead of finding my seat and getting comfortable. Sometimes we become comfortable with being lukewarm and we compare ourselves with others instead of comparing ourselves against God's standard. In reality, there's only one standard that matters, and that's God's standard. You play golf. Mr. Dahlman and I play golf. We go out on the course. We have a such thing called par. Par is normal for course. A lot of people say, well, give you two mulligans. A mulligan is a do-over. And I tell people, you take your mulligans. I'll play it the way it's supposed to be played. Amen. I don't care if I score 150. I'm going to play it the right way. Are you taking mulligans in your Christian walk? Are you saying, yeah, that's for tough Christians, the best of the Christians. That's not for me. Well, maybe you ought to be with one of the best. We follow the wrong people and become slothful in God's work. And when I was going over this, I thought about lukewarm. Lukewarm should be a dirty word in your vocabulary. Because God tells you what he does with lukewarm. So are we lukewarm? Or are we going to get on fire? God knows every table that is wiped and every meal that is served, so you should not need someone to pat you on the back. He is aware of the trash that is thrown out, and he sees and knows every act of service. He knows our hearts and why we serve. That's the scary part. Why do you serve? because God knows your heart. May fool me, may fool pastor. You're not going to fool God. And he's the only one that never forgets. I may forget, pastor may forget, but God never forgets unless you confess it to him as sin. And then it's as far as the east is from the west. I never understood that. How can he forget something if he's an all-knowing God? But he said it. I got to believe it. I don't understand why he saved me and how he saved me, but he said he did it. And I trust him for that. He knows our heart. He will not forget the ministry of love that you have shown. He will not forget what you have done for others in his name. God is a debtor to no man. He owes us nothing. And while blessings and rewards may never be seen this side of eternity, rest assured, he has not forgotten. Oh, Lord, why am I having to go through this? Why am I having to go through this pain? Why am I having to go through this trial? God's not forgotten. God's going to take care of it. Keep your eye on the task at hand, and not on what someone else is doing or not doing. Don't worry about what they're doing. Worry about what you're doing. We can always find someone who is doing less to compare ourselves to. We always can. That's not very difficult. We sure don't like to say, well, yeah, I got another 10 hours of service a week to catch up to that brother. We don't like to say that to ourselves. We like to say, oh, that person only does 15 minutes of Sunday or an hour on Sunday. I got them beat by 2 hours. Funny how we find that. I may never be able to repay my debt to the one I will never be able to. It's not maybe. I will never be able to repay my debt to the one I profess to love and serve. If you think you got an IOU that you're going to come and collect from God one day and says, here, debt's paid, you're mistaken. Because there's only one person that was good enough to get up on that cross. And it wasn't me. And it wasn't you. 3 things I learned this morning in Sunday school. And if you missed Sunday school, I'm sorry. But it was a great Sunday school. I normally don't get to sit in Sunday school. I only had one student in Sunday school this morning. Are you walking close enough to God to hear him speak to you? Are you walking close enough to God that you can hear him speak to you? God is not going to yell at you. And if you're not walking close enough, you're not going to hear him. Are you telling God, no refill? I've had enough. He shared that with us as far as getting a refill of your drink at a restaurant. And sometimes you just put your hand on the cup, says no refill. Do we do that with God's blessings? Oh, no, Mr. Mendez, I will not ever do that. What was the last response you gave to someone, dear pastor, when he said, will you serve or will you go on visitation? Did you say, I've had enough? My cup is full. I don't need any more. God says, open the windows of heaven, pour his blessing upon you. And you're saying, Lord, close the window. It's overflowing. Can't take no more in my life. Yes, we are guilty of that. I am guilty of that. If God was to paint a portrait of your service, what would you see? Would you see a lot of activity? Or would you see a serene scene with nothing in it? Remember, it's God painting it, not me. I have no idea what you do or what you don't do most of the time. I don't need to know what you're doing and what you're not doing. And then something that I gleaned out of the church service this morning. If you're going to serve him, you're going to have to step out and do it. See, Peter didn't get to walk on water by staying in the boat. He got to walk on water because he stepped out. The Israelites didn't get to cross the Red Sea until they step into the sea. Mr. Menendez, I don't know if I can do that. You're right. You can't. But God can. Then I learned we have a wonderful God. I know this, but it's always good to be reminded. You have a loving God, an all-seeing God, an all-hearing God, who gave us a Bible along with the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And then he gave us a mansion. A mansion. And you know, I feel sorry for those people who read the wrong version of the Bible and it says room. I don't want a room. He promised me a mansion. God did not change that into a room. I can guarantee that. When you get to heaven, he's not going to say, oops, you know what? That new revelation they had in that new Bible, it really was just a room. It's not a mansion. No. My God is an honest God, and he's a truthful God, and he's an all-providing God, and he is a God that wants to give you everything. All we got to do is step out there and trust him for it. You think it's easy to work with teens at my age, but you know, that's what God has for me. That's what we're going to do. Not because I've chose that, but God chose it for me. And so I want to close with this, and I want to tell you, how about you? Are you active in ministry and serving the saints? I don't mean you're busy here. You don't have to be busy here at church to be serving the saints. You can be on your telephone at home calling them, encouraging them. You can be writing them a little note. You could be passing out a tract out at the supermarket or leaving one with your waitress. Are you participating in the labor of love? Do you do what you want, what you do because it's a labor of love? You love to do it because you're serving your Savior? If so, are you doing it for God or are you doing it for the praise of others? Oh, I took food to so-and-so this week. Is that because you love the Lord? Or because you know that they're going to tell you thank you? Do you get offended when not patted on the back and given a handwritten note of gratitude? I was kidding Irene the other night. Pastor said something, and he mentioned someone that had done something, and I just kind of chuckled. And I told Irene, man, maybe I should get offended and leave the church over that. He forgot to mention me. You know how silly that would be in God's eye? If I'm doing it for that, I'm in trouble. I really am. Are you focused on eternal rewards as opposed to earthly ones that hold no value? You know that money that you're saving in the bank? When you leave, it gets to stay. You've heard of that joke? The wife told her husband, the husband told his wife, I want to take my money with me. And they asked her, well, he said he wanted his $1 million. She says, I gave it to him. And it's in a check. A lot of good that's going to do in heaven. She gave him his money. Is that how your valuables? May we serve out of gratitude to our King. You're not serving just someone. You're serving a King. May we line up to do the work he has called us to do. You know, sometimes it gets to the point where I said, Pastor, I just don't want to ask people to do anything. You ask him this time. Because it gets discouraging when they say, too busy. No. No, thank you. Don't need to do that. Had my fill. I don't need another blessing. He has called us to do it. It is a privilege and honor to work for the best boss. And it is a privilege and honor to serve God's people. Do you look at your brethren as God's people? As your brethren? Someone that God has put in your life to change you. Maybe he'll change you by you being a blessing to them. Maybe he'll change you by them being a blessing to you. You'd be surprised. In our younger ministry, we did older people. I don't know why God always had me mixed up with things. But Irene and Marguerite and Tasso were just little guys, maybe 8 and 10 years old, 12 years old. And we had the senior saints. And to sit there and think you would be a blessing to the seniors. And when you left there, they were a blessing to you. Sitting in the house and it started to get dark. And they stepped out of the room. I said, it's time to go. It's getting dark. They're not turning on any lights. What are they trying to tell us? And so when they came back in the room, we went to excuse ourselves. No, stay a while. We went and got some flashlights. I said, flashlights? They said, yeah, our hands are arthritic. We can't change light bulbs anymore. I was probably 30 years old, 35 years old. It was easy for me to change light bulbs. What a ministry. But the blessing I got from them, the life lessons that I got from them, you can't put a value on them. It doesn't have to be hard work. Will you complain about the work he has given you to do, or will you whistle while you work? Nothing better than having good fellowship when you're working. May we not rob ourselves of a blessing. And that's what we're doing. When we say no, we are robbing ourselves. I never voluntarily reach in my wallet, grab a $20 or $40 and throw it in the trash because I want to rob myself. But yet I'll do that with a blessing sometimes. May we remember that our God is righteous, not to forget our service to him. And I want to close with this. This is kind of the tough things that happen in churches, and I wish more of the church was here to hear this because it's important that they know this. Because you guys are here, you'll probably tell others, and others will say, oh, I didn't realize that was a position we were in. But if you turn around and see who's not here, that's why we're in the position that we're in. And we're at crossroads with the ministry of Vision Baptist Church. We will either step up and do our part of the ministry and encourage our church by coming out and meeting the needs of the ministry, or we won't have a ministry. Right now, we are meeting our monthly bills, which is utilities and the payment and the insurances, period. We've not paid our pastor but one time in the last 4 months, which is a shame to us. And folks, if we don't do something, then we're telling God this ministry is not important. That's what we're telling by our actions. It's tremendous. You realize you're talking to the choir here. We're busy. We're involved. Yes. And if you're doing all you can do, then you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe this wasn't meant for you tonight, but you get to hear it because you know what I want you to pray for. You can pray for this. You can pray that people take our ministry as something that needs our help right now, needs our prayers, needs our activities, needs us to step up. So I ask you, will you be the one to say, Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served and that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Amen. I think that Tuesday night or Wednesday night, when you see Pastor, you would tell him, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think that would be a blessing to him. Tell him, I'm on board, Pastor. I want to see this ministry thrive. God didn't place us here to close our doors. God didn't place us here to be comfortable with what we have coming in here. God placed us here to reach this neighborhood. God placed us here to reach souls in Glendale and in Goodyear and in Litchfield Park and in Avondale. Surprise. That's why God placed us here. Are we going to stand up and say, God, I'm going to do my part. Whatever it is, I'm going to do my part. It may not be glamorous. It may be as simple as handing out a tract next time you're in the grocery store. I read funny stories about people who call wrong numbers just so they can share the gospel. Sounds kind of crazy, huh? Is it? Maybe that's all they can do. So I want to challenge you with that. Please don't be someone who is content at being what you are. Be someone who wants to honor the Lord, who wants to do their best because God asked them for their best. And you know what? I realize my best is still filthy rags, but he'll take it. Let's pray.